So over this last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about worship. Next Sunday, we're going to have like a harvest time together, harvest celebration. Encourage you again, come for that, bring your friends and family. But this morning, what we're going to do is, and I felt this is such a key word, and I want to share it with you this morning. This is a word, I believe, in season that God just wants to just grab our attention with. So I'm going to ask you to tune in even better than you ever do, because God has us at this point, at this time, just to hear key words. And along the Bible, you'll see it from start to finish. There are times in life when God just comes with key words at key times when he needs to get our attention for something. He just really needs to get our hearts. He really needs to grab our attention. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is that change is coming. And change is coming. And the Lord has big change in place. And we have been changing and evolving for the last few years. We started way back in 2006 out in Listadel with the young adults. And over that time, we have been faithful. And God has been growing us and teaching us and equipping us. And things have been changing. And there's been key times and key stages along those journeys where we've seen God accelerate things and get things ready. The building that we're in at the moment is one of those. We looked at it in 2013 or something, what it was. And eventually we saw it and we thought, hey, we're going to bid for it. And then we have this miraculous story from start to finish how we got it and how so many people give. And it was incredible. But then we got it. And then there was another stage of getting it ready. And then if you remember, then last year, then God called us to reach out again. He says, it's time for change again. It's time to extend again. One of those big change moments. And that's when we started to believe that God was wanting to give us next door. Huge, huge facility that when it's completed with this place together will be 25,000 square feet. And we think to ourselves, Lord, who am I to be a part of this? Maybe you think the same. Who am I to be a part of such a grand project? Who am I to be part of such a big thing? Can we do it, Lord? Is it possible? Will we be able to achieve it? Will we be able to do it? And the Lord knows all of those worries, but he has called us for such a time as this, and he has purposed us for times like this. And I believe just as we bought last year, here's what the sequence of events, and here's what the Lord put in our hearts. He said this, buy the building, don't worry about later. I'll take care of that. Your step is this. Your first stage is to buy the building. That's what you've got to go after. That's what you have to get. That was the difficult part. We have to use faith. We've got to believe. We've got to dig deep in our pockets sometimes. We've got to give by faith. And miraculously, God was able to give us all $175,000, which was absolutely amazing. And today, stage two. Because the Lord is going to call us deeper, and he's going to call us further. And so I want to grab your attention because change is coming. Here's the first question just to get us going, because sometimes we've got to get going in our minds. Sometimes we've got to get going in our hearts. Have you ever had something to do and you keep putting it off? Ever had something to do and you keep putting it off? You know there's a change that needs to happen. You know there's a change on the way, and there's something you need to do, but you keep putting it off. If you're a dad like me, that could be cutting the grass. Anybody want to put off cutting the grass? Sometimes that can happen. Heaven forbid. But sometimes that can happen. But here is my goal this year. I'm going to let you into a personal secret. The last few years, I keep missing the final cut. And so for the whole winter months, I've got to look at this horrendous long grass, and I'm sick of looking at it. So this year, I'm determined. I am going to catch it before it goes. So I'm trimming away at it, because I want to look at short grass the whole winter. How silly, how ridiculous. But there's a change coming. I'm going to get with it, because maybe you're like me, and you procrastinate. You think, I'll forget that last cut. I'll not bother with it. I got to do it. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're a teen, or maybe, I'm not even say what age, but you're here this morning, and the thing that you always want to put off is tidy in your room, because no one ever gets to see it. So don't look at my room. Or that dreaded phone call, or that dreaded doorbell ring when someone's just surprised visited you, and you always try to keep a perfect house, and eventually the whole cover's going to be blown because the house is a mess, and they're right there at the door, and you don't know what to do but let them in. And so there's lots of things in our lives, but there's usually one or two key things that we keep putting off. If Nikki was here this morning, she would tell you one of hers, and I'll tell it for you. And that is the thing she always wants to keep putting off is ironing. Any ladies in here hate ironing? Maybe guys should do that, if you agree with me. But there's many things we put off. Or maybe in your house, has anybody got a drawer in the kitchen that's never tidy, that's always got the junk? Maybe, I don't know what it is, but we seem to have a drawer that's never tidy. I'm going to blame my mom, because she had one, and then she passed it on to me. And you can do the same. But have you got a drawer in the kitchen? And every other drawer is probably fine, but there's probably that one that's just, don't look in that drawer. You know it's in there somewhere. You know that piece of paper's in there, that pen's in there, that ruler or whatever it is. It's all in there. You just never find it. And many times I go to our drawer knowing that thing is there, and I just can't find the blooming thing because it's a mountain of stuff. So there's always things in their lives. There's always things that we keep putting off. And I think the why is this, is because we love the result. We just don't like the process of the change. We don't like the change that we're going to have to face. You know, like, I'm going to have to get the lawnmower out. I'm going to have to drive around. I mean, I get to sit on it. I mean, that's terrible. I should be doing it all the time. I get to sit on the blooming lawnmower. But or the iron, you know what I mean? It's not like we have to go through a big chore to get it out. It's just like, you just do it. And yet, a lot of the times, it's the thought, it's that first step, it's that initial step. That's not even step of faith, but that just an initial step of discomfort that holds us back. And usually when we do that thing, then the rest is easy. We're like, I don't even know what the big deal was. Sorting out the sock drawer was no problem. Sorting out the washing, sorting out the dishes, whatever it is, it wasn't a big deal. But we keep putting it off. And I want to encourage you this morning, bigger than those things, there is a change coming. There's a change coming that God's bringing. We see it in seasons. We see it in the winter months. There's a change coming. And so hopefully we get out our winter woolies and we start to put on different clothing. We get our coats on. We do different things because we recognize there's change coming. And here's the truth about change. Change is always coming. We just have to get with it. Because if we don't, we're going to have to endure the change without the proper clothing or without the proper things in place. And God says this morning, change is coming. And so he wants to remind our hearts and he wants to grab our attention. He wants to grab our hearts so that we can be part of the change. And I know that we love the end result, but many times if you've forgotten it, when we get to the end, we look back and we say things like, man, why did I wait so long? It wasn't as bad as I thought. We get to the end and think, oh, I should never have put it off as much. Or we hear it all the time in young adults on Saturday nights. We hear people say it all the time. Oh, I wish it had come sooner. Because we do this all the time. We put things off. And God's here this morning to grab our attention to say change is coming and I want you to be part of the change. Because stage one was buying next door. Stage two is building next door. And he says, I want you to be part of the change. I want you to be part of the journey. And it's going to be so exciting. It's going to be life-defining. It's going to be huge. It's going to be difficult. I'm not going to try and pull the wool over your eyes. It's going to be difficult. There will be hard seasons. We're going to talk about it in just a moment this morning. But it will be part of something bigger. And it's exactly what God has made us for, that we will be made for bigger things, that we were destined for bigger things. Why? Because we're made in his image. We're made in his image. He has called us to greater things. And when we start to lower and we start to look lower and get satisfied with lesser things, what ends up happening? We get to the end of the change and we have all that we thought that would satisfy and we look back and go, it wasn't as good as I thought. Because the Lord is calling us to greater things. And he's bringing a change like no other. And he says, I want you to be part of the change. Here's the trouble with change. It stretches us. It extends us. It pulls at us. And it causes maybe all those bits that we try to keep hidden away. All of those, attitudes or thoughts or emotions. We try to keep them locked away that nobody would see them. But here's what I know is that when you get into a season of change and you get into a place where you've never been before, it stretches you. And suddenly maybe that road rage comes out that you never let anybody else see. Suddenly that attitude comes out that nobody else gets to see because you're being stretched, you're being tested. You're being tested in a new way because just like a job change or maybe a car change or maybe a life change, things happen. Things happen along the way and it stretches us. And so this morning as we step into this new season, there will be stretching that happens. There will be changes that happen. But don't worry, God is bringing a change and he's saying, can you come with me? I want us to read Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3. This is a change right back at the beginning of the Old Testament. We should have it on the screen if you've got it in your Bible. Then I encourage you to look it up this morning because I believe this is going to be key verses for us in the weeks and months to come. Here's what it says in verse 1, Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, you'll notice Abram, it's not Abraham. He hasn't become Abraham yet. He's just Abram. It means exalted father, but eventually he's going to become Abraham, which means father of many nations. But here's what God's going to call him to. He's going to call him to change. He's going to give him opportunity to change, and he's going to say, Abram, there's something before you. Are you ready to step into it? It's exactly what the Lord wants to grab our attention with this morning. It says this, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. God comes with strong language because he wants to get his attention, because he knows if he comes softly, softly, Abram will ignore the message, and he'll say, maybe it'll be okay if I just keep going. Many times do we do that? We know change is coming, but in the way the change is spoken to us, we kind of maybe ignore it sometimes because we think, well, it didn't sound that forceful or it didn't sound like a big deal. God is looking to get our attention just like he did with Abram back here. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'm going to bring you somewhere, the Lord says. I will make you a great nation. Now he gets his attention. I'm going to make you a great nation. Who doesn't want to be that this morning? I want to be a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. wow, now God has got his attention. He started off with strong language, and now he's going with, here's the truth of what's going to happen if you follow after me. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all your families, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What an incredible, incredible word from God that comes direct to Abram. A guy who's just journeying through life, simple farmer, just trying to get through life, him and his wife, and they're just trying to survive. And then the Lord comes to him one day, and he grabs his attention. I think he just comes with a word that's meant to just grab him and shake him on the shoulder and say, Abram, there's something for your life. There's something for you to do. And I think this morning the Holy Spirit just wants to come and just grab us by the shoulder. I wish I could go and do it all of us, but then you'd probably take me up for assault or something. But the Lord just wants to grab our attention, because here's what happens. We just flow through life like it's all good. And life is not all good. We're just being deceived and fooled. There are so many highs and lows. There are so many valleys and mountaintops. All through life is going like this, and we're just trying to glide. And sometimes we can do that successfully, but then there's many times what we have to do to not go with the change, we have to adjust ourselves. And so we become numb, and we can be consumed with brokenness, and we just get battered and battered and battered. But on the outside, we're trying to portray an image like everyone's okay. And the Lord's here this morning, I want to grab your attention. You may just be living a simple life. You may not have the qualifications that you think. You may be totally broken. You may be totally at the end, but the Lord wants to grab your attention, because he's placed you at this time, at this season, in this place to tell you there's a change coming, and I need you to be part of the change. I need you to be part of the change. See, this is not like another message where we're encouraging each other, exhorting each other. This is one where God wants to grab our attention, because this is a word in season. It's a word in season. And here's the thing, the urgency comes in the word, because the Lord knows if he doesn't get your attention with this word in season, you miss the season, and then everything gets delayed. You miss the season. If you're a farmer, you know you got to move when the season comes. If you don't, you miss the harvest. The Lord says this morning, if we miss the season, we miss the harvest, because the harvest truly is ready, but the workers are few, the laborers are few. And the Lord says, I am presenting you with the right season at the right time. There is a change, and I need you to recognize the change. It's a spiritual change. So sometimes it can be hard to see, because we're natural human beings, and sometimes the issues of life, they blind us, they pull our attention, they distract us, and we get consumed with all this going on. We get distracted by all this going on, but the Lord says there's a spiritual change that's happening now, and I need you to see with your spiritual eyes. I need you to see with your eyes of faith. And if you do, by faith, you will recognize it, and you will see there's a season, and you'll step into it. But if you don't tune up, if you don't tune in, if you don't allow the Lord to just let you see through faith, you'll miss it, because you won't sense it in the natural. You'll only sense it in the spiritual. There's a change coming, the Lord says. And if we miss the change, we miss the harvest. But if we grab the change, we grab the harvest. And the harvest truly is plentiful. And the Lord says, the harvest ready out there. The harvest is ready. God is moving this morning. Abram comes, God comes to Abram, and he forever changes his life with a word that says, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I want to think about two or three things this morning that we're going to talk about when it comes to change. First one is this: change brings pain. Anybody recognize that one? Change brings pain a lot of the times. Why does it have to be painful? Because there's a lot of mess in us. And when we get squeezed, guess what happens? That mess comes out. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. You know, a lot of things come out. But when they come out, you know what happens? Sometimes it allows us to see, it allows us to recognize, maybe it allows someone else to see, someone in love that can come and help us to move through the seasons, that will help us to come and move through that change, so that we become the person that God has designed us to become. Remember, before the fall, what did God plan for us? No loss, no jealousy, no envy, no brokenness, wholeness, no sickness. How do we know that? Because when we get to heaven, no loneliness, no jealousy, all wholeness, no disease, no famine, no poverty. It's just incredible. It's heaven. And the Lord says this morning, I don't want the old fall of sin to keep distracting you in the future, because your life has been changed. You have been turned around. Your life has been turned around if you know Christ. And if you don't know him this morning, then there's a change coming. And the Lord says, I want you to invite me into your life, because I want you to be part of this journey. I thought maybe you've moved house before. I was talking to Anne earlier. She was telling me she was moving home. When we go to move house, if you've done it before, you always think to yourself, I hoped it was going to be easier. And then I got there and I realized we had far more stuff than we thought. We have far more stuff than we thought. Change is not easy, and it can be painful. And a lot of the times we go through it and we say, why? But God's making the biggest changes in you. God wants to make the biggest changes in you because he knows if he can change you, he changes everything. You change the world around you, but he must change you. He's such a good God. He's such a good God that when change comes and the new season comes, that he doesn't just move you from here to there without changing you on the inside. Because you know why? If he doesn't do that, we'll get to the finish zone and we'll go, there's just something not right. There's just something that hasn't moved. Because if he doesn't change us, we aren't able to step into that freedom at the end and go, wow, look what the Lord has done. We'll think about X, Y, and Z. We'll go, well, I missed this thing. I didn't do that thing. I wasn't good enough here. I wasn't good enough there. And the Lord says, I want to break you free from all of that. And to do that, I've got to change you. I've got to change you. And he's not going to get your attention this morning. I'm saying it over and over again because this is a key message. It's a kairos moment. It's a key moment when the Lord speaks from heaven to earth to his people so they will be forever changed and we receive it this morning. Here's a few things I want us to see from Abram's life. And I want us to see because there's a lot going on in these series of verses that we can miss. But I want to peel them back just for a minute and see what happens. First thing is this. For Abram, God says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. I mean, that's a lot of change. That's a lot of change that God is asking him. Now, he's going to reveal to him why the change is so important and why it's so necessary. And he's going to reveal to him in the next verse the reward. But anybody ever been told to get out of the house, get out of the country, and get away? I mean, that's a big request. That's a big ask. If I turned around and asked you to do that this morning, you'd be like, whatever, it's not going to happen. I mean, even I told you God says this, you maybe say, whatever, it's not going to happen. But God comes to Abram and he says this, get out of your country, get out of your home, get away from your family, move out of here. Think about this. New area, new culture, new traditions, new language. Are you sure, Lord? I mean, change is not easy. And when God, sometimes the biggest changes come, the biggest change that God wants to do in your life come with the biggest changes. Come with the biggest changes. This is a complete location change, language change, family change, culture change, everything change. This is incredible. Abram had to be fearful. He had to be worried about it. He had to be concerned about it. He had to be fearful. And so in the midst of the change, there will be fear. There will be pain. Second one is pain. He had the pain of leaving his relatives. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'd be glad of that. But anyway, Abram had to leave his relatives. Had to leave his family behind. Had to get away from that. So there's a big leaving on that because back in those days, family was everything. It should be the same today, but sometimes we forget about it and we make career this and everything else that. But back then, family was everything. Family stayed together. They lived together. They extended their homes together. People would stay in the same community together. They would farm together. This was a big deal. God was saying to Abram, I want you to leave everything. I want you to step away from this. This was painful for him. This was big decision stuff. This was definitely something he would have deliberated. He would have thought about a lot. Of course, there's risk. Because in the middle of change, there's always risk. What will people think about me? Will people say I'm crazy? They probably already are. What will people think of the decisions that I make? Again and again and again, when God calls us to big change, just like Noah, a lot of the times everybody else thinks you're crazy. But you know you've heard from God. A lot of people thought we were crazy when it came to stage one of Bad Next Door. A lot of people thought we were crazy when we bought this. But the Lord said, we've got to do it. And so we said, okay, we'll be fools for Christ. That's what the Lord's saying. That's what he's asking you for because he's called you to adventure with him for the sake of the lost. He's not called you to just stay perfect your whole life and to stay comfortable your whole life and to stay like everybody loves you and everybody likes you. Hey, they hated the Son of Man too. That's why he went to the cross. His very own people couldn't see it. His very own people couldn't recognize him. Church, this morning, we've got to be okay that other people are not going to think we're okay. We've got to get okay with that. We've got to get fine with that. We've got to be okay that some people are not going to agree with the steps you take, not because out of spite, but because you've heard the word of the Lord and you say, God, okay, I'm going to move where you asked me to move. A lot of Abram's family, I'm sure, would have come to him and said, Abram, are you crazy? Don't move from this land. Are you crazy? This is where we've always been. This is where you need to stay. But he'd heard from God, and he said, okay, I'm going to take that fear, I'm going to take that risk, I'm going to take that pain, and I'm going to give it to you, Lord, because you've asked me to go. The Lord's asking us, there's a change coming. Are you ready to go? There could be one in your life personally, but there's definitely one coming in terms of the life of this church, and the Lord says, are you ready to go? Doesn't matter if it's first time, doesn't matter if it's 10th time, doesn't matter if it's 1,000th time, there's still the pain of the change. There's still that, I've got to grab it. I've got to count the cost. I've got to make the decision. There's always the decision. Doesn't matter how much you layer it up. It's always difficult to go for that stage change because it always seems easier to stay where you are. But the Lord says there's adventure. There's risk. There's pain. There's fear. But oh my goodness, there's something that's going to come that's going to transform the nations around us. But here's the blessings because we've got to remember the blessings. He said this, God told Abram this, your name's going to change and your family's going to become great. Your name's going to change and your family's going to become great. I'm going to do something in your life that cannot be done in the current location. I'm going to do something in your life as you would step out in risk, in faith and in pain for me, in faith as you would step out. I'm going to do something. Second thing, God would give him many descendants. He told him to look at the stars. He says, your descendants are going to be as the number of the stars. You're going to be incredible. You're going to father the nations. And of course, when we look back in the lineage of Jesus, we recognize that Abram came, and then it flows right through to David, flows right through to Jesus. He's right there because he took a step. Jesus says, God said to him, there's a change coming, and he got with the change, and he stepped out in it. The Lord says, there's a change coming in our lives. It's time to step. The truth about Abram is this, that he made a decision. I'm going to change. Lord says this morning, there are many changes that need to be made in our lives. There are many changes that get presented to us. But every single time along the way, we get asked, God asks us, are you ready? Will you be the one that says, here I am, Lord, send me? Will you be the person that receives the change and says, yes, Lord, I'm going to go for it? I don't understand it all, can't comprehend it all, can't get my head around it all, but I'm going to go for it. And this is what the Lord is asking this morning. Are you ready for the change? And then he says, up to you. What do you want to do? Up to you. You know what the sad reality is? There are many, 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 for generations, lifetimes, that God has invited to be part of a change, and they've said no to it, and they've missed it. It is possible to miss the things that God has in our lives. Read about it from start to finish, all through the Old Testament, right through the New Testament. But I would rather see the people and recognize those who took that step of faith and didn't miss all that God had for them. And said, yes, Lord, I'll follow after you. And this is the challenge that God is putting before us. We may not be able to comprehend it fully. We may not understand it all. But that's perfectly normal because we take these steps by faith. Faith in a good God. Here's the second thing this morning. Every time we take change, it's always bigger than we think. A few years ago, Nikki had a conversation with me. She said, we should have another baby. I was like, no way. I'm happy where it is. Two girls is more than enough. Because I remembered the birth of Bethany. I was like, well, I know all you got to go through. There's a lot of nappies. There's a lot of upheaval. There's a lot of changes to routine. But you know what? She just kept asking me. And time kept moving. And I started to forget just the transition and the change. And then eventually said, okay. That's what it. Now what has happened? The change is bigger than I ever remembered. Sleepless nights, change of routine, got to buy nappies. Everything changes. Oh, everything changes. It's the same with us. Change is always bigger than you think. It always comes with bigger ramifications. It always comes with bigger things. We step in thinking it's just going to be this simple thing. It's just going to be this easy thing. And then we get there and we recognize, wow, change is bigger than we think. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. Sometimes it's like, I don't know if I can go through this again. I don't know if I can go back to nappies again. I don't know if I can go back to sleepless nights. But you know what? Surviving okay. Surviving okay. And I want to comfort you this morning. There's change coming, and God says it's going to be bigger than you think. And there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some challenges. But it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And God says, step out and trust me and allow the comfort of the Holy Spirit and allow the peace of God that passes all understanding, like Jeff talked about last week, to comfort your mind, to protect your soul, to guard your spirit, and step out in faith before the Lord and watch what he does. Here's the other side, and the flip side of it is this, is that I get to be part of new life. Wow. I got to have another baby girl. That is amazing. I have three girls. Overwhelmed, couldn't have dreamt it any better, couldn't have believed it any better than it happened, overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Because in the midst of the change, yes, we can focus on all the things that won't be nice and all the things that aren't good, or we can start to focus on the things that are even better and even truer. Every time we step out in faith, and there's the capacity that people's going to get saved, that lives are going to be impacted. Now I have another life, the privilege of looking after another life that God has given me. And God says for you this morning that he has presented things before you. He has given things around you. And he says, I want you to step into these things. And for Aria this morning, she's a new life for me to look after. She's going to grow. Here's the reality. The chances are I'm going to do my best. She's going to get a job. She's going to get a job. She's going to go from a baby to self-sufficient. And one day it could come that all the looking after that I have had to do, she's going to have to do it for me. Because sometimes life's funny like that. It goes full circle. It goes full circle. You know, I'm believing she's going to go and she's going to get a job. She's going to get married. And guess what? Chances are she's going to become a mom too. She's going to become a mom too. She's going to become a granny. Here's the best news. She was born to change the world. Born to change the world. I've been praying it in the womb. I've been praying it beforehand. I've been praying that she's going to be so much better than me. I prayed it all over my kids from start to finish. I'm still praying it, that they're going to change the world for the Lord, because I recognize this. Anything done for him lasts. Anything done for me or anybody else fades away. anything done for the Lord is worth it. Anything done for him is worth it. In other words, there's nothing else really worth it. Sorry to break it to you. Nothing else really worth it. Now, we do it. We work. I work to provide for my family. But there's a bigger end to it. There's a bigger goal to it. And the Lord says this morning, don't let life pass you by. Don't let just everything drift by you. Remember this, you're sitting in a miracle. Those chairs were given to us for free. Over 20,000 pounds worth of chairs, you're sitting in a miracle. So anytime you start to get dismayed, anytime you start to get discouraged, remember, the reason you're sitting is because you're sitting in a miracle. The Lord gave us those chairs for free. And many other things in this building, it would take too long to go through them, but I would love to walk you through and tell you about all the different things that the Lord did through us by faith, because he's a good God. And we could have said, no, we're not going to do it. We'll just stay comfortable. We'll just stay easy. We won't step out in faith. We won't recognize the change that's before us. But we would never be here today. And God says, keep looking to me. Because the more you keep looking to me, the more you're going to step into that change. And the more you're going to step forward in the things of God. Someone encourage you. Verse 2 of Genesis 12 says this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Wow. God is calling us to greater things. Verse 3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, church, one of the biggest things that we need to get in our hearts is that we could see ourselves with those verses being applicable to us too. That in you, you'll be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Imagine if we started to believe that. Imagine if we started to step into what God has called us to do. Because that's not about you being great. That's about the Lord using you to do great things. Because God says, what did Jesus say before he left? Don't worry, I'm going to go, but there's one coming just like me, and you're going to do greater things than I have done. So the Lord has already determined that. The Lord has already commanded that. He's already told us to go. And yet we just get dismayed and derailed and held back. But the Lord says, there's a change coming, and I want you to be a part of it. A few quick things about change, and then we'll get to our final thing is this. Change is a process. There's going to be adjusting. I'm going to encourage you. There's going to be adjusting to happen. When you get to a new job, there's adjusting. When you get to a new environment, there's adjusting. It's not easy, but it gets you right for the season ahead. There's stretching. We spoke about that. There's being uncomfortable. We spoke about that. Here's a big thing I want us to just ponder on for just a moment. There is offense. Offense is one of the biggest things that seems to be robbing the children and the men and women and the sons of God from the things of God day after day. Offense. I'm worried how someone's going to think about me. I'm worried that what the thing we're going to do next door is offensive. You know, I'm worried that, here's the truth, guys, we're going to spend over £1 million to get next door ready, probably even more. Some people's getting offended by that number. You know what the Lord says? I left the 99 to find the one. I left heaven and earth to transform the world because I left the splendor of heaven that no number could ever be put on, and I left it all to go after you who were worthless. So the Lord says, don't worry about the money because I provide all of the finance. I provide all of the things. When we paid $175,000, here was the good news. Not one person paid the whole $175,000. We all did our bit. Could you imagine if we priced out feeding the 5,000? We wouldn't have done it. No way, Jesus. No way. You know the budget's tight. We're not feeding the 5,000 here. Tell them to go home. The Lord says, no, I'm not going to let you even think about it. Just grab what you have. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Grab what you have. Let me bless it. Let me make it multiply. Let me extend it. You know, sometimes our biggest thing is this. It just gets in the way. It's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. The Lord says this morning, wants to touch your heart. And you know how he might do it? He might offend your mind to say, I want to get to your heart. If we had priced out the feeding the 5,000, we wouldn't have done it. We said, Jesus, we could have went to, I don't know, Macedonia for that. We could have went to Rome for that. We're not going to do that. That's a waste of money. We could reach far, far more people. But God says, no, what's in your hand? What has he placed you in? We don't live anywhere else. We live here. We live at this moment, at this time. Let the Lord do what he needs to do. Because here's the number one thing. This is not my dream. It's not your dream. If it was, it would have failed a long time ago. It would have failed a long time ago. And here's what the word tells us. In the last days, there's going to be famines. There's going to be rumors of war. There's going to be wars. There's going to be earthquakes. And then tucked in near the end of it, sometimes we forget it, it says that people are going to be offended about everything. People's going to be offended about everything. We are not going to step into that in Jesus' name. We're going to be people that says, I know what the Lord has told me. I know what the Lord has called us to. I know some people's going to get offended by it, but we're going to go for it by faith because the Lord has called us to greater things. By faith, by offense, it's robbing us of so many things. Offend about this person, things. Don't want to offend this person with that thing. Here, we have got the good news. It is offensive. It's the good news because I tell you what, no other news is like it. No other news is closest to it. The gospel is offensive. It really is because we're turning around to people and saying, hey, there's nobody else like our Jesus. There's no other way into the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing, but the only way into it is Jesus. That's offensive to some people. We've got to get used to being offensive at the right times of the right season for the sake of the gospel, for the Lord. I'm not saying be offensive because you want to. Some days we want to do that, let the Lord correct that. But there are times when the good news of the gospel and the good news of Jesus is offensive, and the plans and the purposes that God has is offensive because people don't like it. They don't like when things are being changed. They don't like change, and so we resist it. We're going to be defeated at times. We're going to feel like we want to quit as we go to stage two. We're going to feel like, I can't believe we did this. I can't believe we even started this. I can't believe we went this way. And God says, come on, keep encouraged. We're going to wonder, should we even have begun this process? We're going to think, why? But God says this morning, keep your focus. Third thing, change is necessary. We think that change is one of those things that we can resist and get out of. But I've got good and bad news for you. This change is necessary. God needs it to happen. God needs it to happen. Here's the only thing that delays change. We do. We get in the way sometimes. We don't step into the call that God's got for us. We don't let go of some of the baggage we need to let go of. We don't give up some of the things that we need to give up. And so what we do is sometimes we delay the change, and maybe the change has to come off us and go to somebody else. And I want to encourage you this morning. You're here for such a time as this. God didn't bring you by mistake. God didn't bring you because he thought it would be a good idea for you to come and just get your ears tickled this morning. God brought you here because he's all about the detail. And you come with certain abilities and with certain attributes and certain heart things. And God says, I need you to be part of this thing. But it's up to you. It's up to you to decide. The change is necessary. The biggest thing that we try to do is that we don't need a change. We don't need to be part of this change. But God says it needs to happen. Because there's a generation out there that's being lost and further lost. And we heard it last week where the Lord spoke, fatherless generation. There's generations coming out and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And we have the best news. And it's not just news to turn your life around. It's news to transform society. And our Lord's coming back for a beautiful bride. He's coming back for a beautiful bride. And he wants us to be part of it. And so he says, stage two is ready to go. The change is on the way. The change is about to happen. Will you come and be part of this thing? I want us to read Nehemiah. I'm conscious of time, so I'm going to move to get near a finish. Nehemiah 2:17 says this. Nehemiah is a word that the Lord has put in our hearts, and day after day, he affirms in our hearts more and more. What we are building out there next door is not a building. We are restoring the walls that will transform a nation. And so we're taking our lead from Nehemiah. What the Lord has done before, we say, Lord, do it again. That's what we say, Lord, do it again. We say, Lord, have your way, do it again. Testimony time, testimony means do it again, Lord. And we're saying, God, do it again like you did back then. It says, then I said to them, Nehemiah speaking, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. We could easily swap that to Armagh. Armagh lies in ruins. Should be the church capital of Ireland, ecclesiastical capital of Ireland. It is not. Maybe in Nehem, maybe in the history books, but nobody's coming to Armagh to find Jesus because it's not on the radar. It's not well known. It's not a known thing. The Lord says, I'm looking to restore a city. Jerusalem, Armagh lies in ruins. Its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that we will no longer be in disgrace. We've got to recognize this thing is personal because God has made this thing personal because we are part of this thing. And I know you may not be from Armagh, and maybe you just traveled to here, but we're part of this thing because God has called us here. And so we're in disgrace. Our city is in disgrace. And the Lord says, I need to start to rebuild. I need to start to transform things because we want to see people turned around. We want to see our time turned around for the Lord. I also told them about the gracious hand. This is so important to recognize this morning, church. The gracious hand of the Lord is on me and what the King has said to me. This is crucial. The Lord's hand is upon us for this. This is not a good idea. This is not just something that came from a prayer time that we just thought that we thought that we thought that we knew. The Lord's hand is on this thing. The Lord's hand is on us this morning. You've got to recognize the Lord's hand is on you. There is a change coming, and the Lord's hand is on it because he's the one that's bringing the change. He said, they replied, I love this. Let us rebuild. Let us start rebuilding. This is our response this morning, whether you like it or not. This is what the Lord is asking us to do. Let us rebuild. Let us go for this thing. Lord, you have given us this opportunity. Lord, you have placed it at this time, at this season. Lord, you've given us this incredible space next door. Let us rebuild. This is the alignment of our heart. This is what God has called us to think and be and to speak these kind of words. But you've got to decide for you. Let me be part of this rebuilding. Let me be part of this journey. So they began this good work. Remember, it's a good work because it's God's work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem from Arab heard about it. Look what happened. They mocked and ridiculed us. This is the reality of every step of faith that we take in the Lord. There's going to be ridicule. There's going to be times where people are against us. There are going to be times where people are calling us idiots day after day. Newspaper might say it. Friends might say it. Close brothers might say it. But the hand of the Lord is upon us. This is good work. They ridiculed us. But what is this you are doing? What on earth are you trying to do next door? What on earth are you trying to do? And they asked, are you rebelling against the king? Are you rebelling against the king? Think about this morning, church, just for a moment, and then we're going to be done. The main reason that we don't like change is because deep down, we want to fit in with everybody else. Because deep down, we want to feel like we're liked by everybody else. Want everybody to love us. Want everybody to pat us on the back. Because we have these deep insecurities that I don't want to be out of this. I don't want to be out of that. I don't want to be, we said sometimes even our faith, I don't want to be out of God's will. And that comes from a good heart, but sometimes it can come from a negative place in terms of insecurities that are trying to rise up. And so a good word comes from a bad source and the Lord wants to heal that. Or maybe it comes from a different place of, I just don't want anybody to think bad of me. I just want to fit in because I want to be accepted. Don't want anybody to reject me. Don't want anybody to think bad of me. The Lord says this morning, are we going to be concerned about what the king says in small k? Or are we going to be more concerned with the large k, the king of kings says? The Lord's hand is upon us for this project. Stage two is now. The Lord says there'll be ridicule that comes. He does not try to hold us back from that. He's not trying to make us think that that's not going to come. That will come. It'll touch your heart. It will be painful. It'll be fearful. You'll be worried if we even made the right move. But we've got to trust the Lord's hand is upon us. And he knows what he is doing. I answered them by saying, this is what Nehemiah said, the God of heaven will give us success. What is our answer for every single question? What is our answer for every single offense? What is our answer for every single person that doesn't understand what we're doing? The Lord of heaven will give us success. It's his idea. It's his supply. He's able to do. He has done it before. He will do it again. It's the king that's given us success. It's the king that's given us success. We were made for this. The king of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you will have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. See, this is ours because the Lord has given it to us. This city is ours because the Lord has given it to us. The only thing that will prevent us from doing it is from you looking in the mirror and saying, this is not me. This is not what God's called me to do. And I want to touch your heart just for a minute. I'm going to ask the guys to come and get ready. But I want to just speak to your heart just for a minute. I want to say this. Can we just pause and think? You could be here this morning and you heard all of this stuff and then you think yourself, but you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. You could be here this morning thinking, I'm not just ready to quit. I just don't think I can keep going. I just don't think I can. You could be here this morning even feeling suicidal. You could be here this morning feeling absolutely depressed in every way. You could be here. And every single one of those things is to try to get you away from the purpose that God's called you to be a part of. But here's the word of the Lord this morning. My hand is upon you, and I've called you for this season and for this time. I want you to get it in your heart. I want you to receive the word of the Lord. And every time the Lord speaks, it comes like, wow. It comes like freshness. If we were a boat, it comes like wind to our sails. It causes us to boom, go. And everything could have been flat. Everything could have been, there could be no wind. Wind, you could have been going absolutely nowhere. And then that wind of the Lord comes, the wind of the Holy Spirit comes, and suddenly, wow, your sails are full with the power and the grace of God. And you just go. You could be here this morning. You could be here this morning wondering, am I part of this thing? Am I supposed to be part of this thing? And the Lord says, my hand is upon you. I've got you here for this season. Maybe this is the first time you've been here in a long time. Maybe this is the first time you've been completely. I want to encourage you this morning. The Lord had you at this point, at this moment. Think about it. You could have come any time. You could have come any season. Could have come any week. But you came this one. Maybe various different reasons that got you here. But the Lord said you came this one. And the Lord wants you to be a part of it. I want to finish off with something practical. Here's three things I want to give to you this morning. I want to encourage you to say yes to the Lord, to allow that change to happen in your heart, to allow the Lord to change you because you're part of it. Abram had to agree to the change. If he didn't agree to the change, it was never going to happen. I want you to say yes to the Lord. Contemplate it this week. Pray about it. But I want you also, number two, to pray about all that's going to happen next door. I want you to cover it in prayer. We're going to have to faithfully cover it in prayer day after day because there's a battle going on. The enemy doesn't like it. And so we're going to have to pray. And then the third thing, And you already know it. We're going to have to give. We're going to have to give what we have. We're going to have to give in our finances. We're going to have to give with our time. We're going to have to give the very best of ourselves. We may even have to lay down our lives for it in a metaphorical sense, in a spiritual sense. But everything that we will give up, the Lord promises to give back tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. We may not see it in this lifetime, but we will feel the accomplishment of being part of something greater than ourselves. And when we get to there, you're going to live in a mansion like you can't believe. You're going to live in a mansion you can't believe. I want to tell you something. Finance is one of these things that scares us. Finances, asking people to give money, doesn't scare me anymore. Because you know what I have recognized? That to not invite people to give is to ask them to miss out on joy. Every single time that we have given, every single time that we've stretched to give $45,000 to buy this building, to do it up was another $100,000 or so, to buy next door was another $175,000, you add that all up, wow, we're getting close to $500,000. But all of that money, here's what I recognize. At the beginning, I was apprehensive to ask. It was like, oh, Lord, are you sure? People don't have that much. People don't have this. But you know what I've realized as time has went on? If we don't give the opportunity for people to give, they miss out on the joy of being part of something bigger. Did you know as you give to the Lord, you may not have got it yet. This is not a sales pitch. This is the Lord. As you give, there's joy that comes in extra dimensions and in extra ways that you've never seen before. As you give to the Lord. I'm going to tell you something about the battle that we have faced over this last few months in terms of just something simple. Here's what the Lord told me a few months ago. Oh, maybe even a year ago. We have our bank account for Vibe. And he said, get another one because I want this thing to be totally separate. We could keep the separate in the spreadsheet. Wouldn't have been a big issue. But he said, I want you to get this new account. But here's the thing. I recognized the change that was coming. I went to do the change. And then when I got to the change, this blimmin' account just would not open, no matter what we did. I mean, I went to Santander. You have to do it by fax. I'm like, what? Who uses fax anymore? We all use email. Or why can't we do it in the branch? I went to send that many faxes to Santander over that many silly mistakes that I don't know whose were, but somehow they always happened, that they called me the fax guy. Oh, here comes the fax guy. He doesn't come to lodge any money. He just comes to send faxes because you had to send faxes to Business Banking and Santander, and they're the only ones that could do it. I said, we've been trying to open this bank account, trying to open it. Every single time there'd be something against us. I started to realize there's something spiritual in this. Because the Lord has given us a clear path. He always gives us a clear path, and then we step into the things. Now, you're thinking, don't be silly. It's only opening a bank account. But he said specifically, we need to get a separate account. And so we went for it. Here's the funny thing about it. On the same day that my new daughter was born, that next day, Monday, I get a call from Santander. Says, good news, sir. Your bank account is finally open. I said, praise the Lord. I feel like I've won £1 million. I said, this has been the hardest account to open ever. What's going on? She says, I know. I was afraid to phone you all of those times. Our security is just through the roof. But you got there eventually. Church, this morning, I want to grab your attention. The Lord is setting things up. He says, there's change coming. And here's the change that's coming. There's a change coming that says, hey, we've got to be a part of this thing. We're going to be into this thing. And if we're going to be in it, here's what the Word tells us. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're going to be into this thing to your neck and above your neck, if you're going to be into this thing the whole way, you've got to be in it with your treasure. And what's the biggest treasure that we have? A lot of the times, it's our finance. A lot of the times. But I encourage you this, as you give, you're not giving to me, you're not giving to this church, you're giving to the Lord to extend the kingdom. We thought we're buying a derelict building to do it up and to be a nice building for Vibe. No, we bought into the opportunity of changing our town, of changing our nation. The Lord said to Abram, I'm not just going to change your name, I'm not just going to change your family, I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to use you to change the nations. And we're still talking about Abram. We're still talking about him today because of his step of faith in the most incredible circumstances as he stepped out before the Lord. And so we're going to speak more about it. We're not going to speak about it next week because it's harvest time. But the Lord's our provider, and he'll be working behind the scenes. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to encourage you to give. And so what we're going to do is we're going to set up monthly giving. And here's something that God put in our hearts. And again, we're feeling our way on it because God doesn't give you the whole picture. He asks you to step out in faith. But we worked this thing out, and we said, you know what? 100 people or less, if a few of us give 50, a few of us give 100 a month, and maybe there was a few, half a dozen that would give £200 a month. Seems like an awful lot, but it's amazing what the Lord can do when we put it down and we start to question our Sky bill to Sky Sports. I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but it's amazing how we can add some of those things up. and we start to give to the Lord, you know what we will have by the end of 5 years with around 100 people given, a majority given 50, a handful given 100, a handful given 200 a month. Don't let the numbers scare you. But by the end of it, guess what we'll have? After 5 years, we will have £500,000. We'll have £500,000. Incredible what can happen through the numbers. But here's the thing I want you to focus on so much more. What will the Lord not do through your life? Through the testing, through the stretching. What will the Lord not do through your life as you maybe like the widow give all that you have? I want to encourage you. I want you to pray. This thing's serious now. The Lord says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I want you to decide if I'm going to just continue to live the way I've lived before, or am I going to be part of this thing that will extend past me and I'll be part of a legacy that lasts way beyond me. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going. What about for you? It's going to cost you. There's things, many things I've had to sacrifice along the way. There are costs, and I'm not going to start a boo-hoo story, but there are costs in my life that I've had to give up on the pursuit of this thing. But and same for you. I'm sure the same for you, whether it be a business thing, whether it be a God thing, whatever it would be. This is going to cost us everything, but it's going to be worth it. You're going to feel satisfaction. You're going to feel comfort, and you're going to have a recognition to say, I was part of that life changed. I was part of that life changed. I was part of that life changed. I was part of, and it'll go on, and it will go on, and it will go on. There is a change coming. And the Lord says, I don't want you to be scared. I don't want you to be afraid of it. I want you to pray. I want you to pray and consider what you can do, what you can give. And over the next few weeks, we're going to set it up. But I encourage you this morning, God is moving. This is stage 2. We're ready to go next door, ready to do all we need to do. Come on, let's stand. We're going to stand and pray.